This is
Positively Hygiene
with your host, Amber Lovatos,
Amy Parenti,
and Angela Doe.
Listen on as we dive into the positive of dental hygiene. So I did a story on burnout because one of our friends is doing a free course on burnout. And this student responded to me. She said that one of her greatest fears is that she's going to graduate from hygiene school and be burnt out and not like hygiene. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, like we don't want you to think that, because I actually love dental hygiene. If I had to pick hygiene again, I would pick hygiene again. If I had to do this all over again, I would do it all over again. I love this profession. I think it's done a lot for me and my career. I don't know if you feel the same way, but
no, I love it. And have I experienced burnout in the career? Absolutely. But I knew, I've learned from that what led up to it. And it wasn't burnout of the career. It wasn't burnout clinically, right? It was my environment. It was my like self-inflicted goals that I had. And so I think, oh, I feel so bad that she said that. I mean, I totally get it. I totally get that fear. But I, you know, a lot of having these CEs and courses is that because there is such a wide range of seasoned hygienists out there that eventually we do, and we just need like some kind of, not eventually, no, that was the wrong word. Some of us do experience burnout again, but because of the environment or something else, not because of the actual profession.
And I'll say one of the things that is hard for me is, and like one of the things that causes me burnout is the physically demanding portion of it. Investing in things like ergo loops, investing in things like saddle stools. Like I have a crown seating saddle stool, which is fantastic. My ergo loops, like QOptix, have been amazing. And I know there's like other brands of ergo loops that I haven't tried, but people seem to love, like I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about their specific ergo loops. I love mine. I know that there's a hygienist who teaches like weightlifting for ergonomics. And I'm like, you know what? I think that's the next thing I'm going to do. I think I'm going to take her course. And doing things so that you're not like going through pain. Because what I was finding is I was like in pain as I'm treating my patient. That's like causing me frustration because I'm just trying to get through this visit because I'm in pain. And well, that doesn't help my patients, but also mentally it doesn't help me because I'm just trying to rush the appointment. And then I'm dreading going to work because I'm dreading being in pain. And those types of things, I think, contribute to my burnout. Focus on those ergonomics, having instruments that are sharp and, you know.
Oh, big deal. I got the ergo loop.
You got the ergo loops.
I want the saddle stool. I haven't got the saddle stool yet.
Doing a giveaway right now.
Yes, I'm just doing a giveaway. So like the chairs we have at work, they only go up so high, and then we have benches, we don't have the reclining, so I know that impacts my ergonomics, so I try to find other ways to adjust to it. So I think a saddle stool would be great. But the other day I went in just to sharpen instruments, you know, because it matters, especially with the holiday season coming up, or I think this episode will release right after, so with, you know, during this holiday season it gets really busy, especially in pediatrics. So went in to sharpen instruments to make sure it's ready, and that way and because that lateral pressure on the cap, you know, in order to make sure your ultrasonic inserts are not to replace them, all that, like, it sounds little, you know, but it does add up and it can wear on you over time.
I think one of the things that like caused my burnout when I was first getting out was feeling like I didn't have a lack of mentorship and feeling like I didn't know absolutely everything, but graduating and being expected to know everything. Mm-hmm. So find yourself a mentor. Join your hygiene association, connect with one of us. If we can help you, we'll help you. But I think that was, and if there's something that you are unaware of, so I have a friend who's a dietitian, and she was telling me that she, when she doesn't know something, especially because she like works in like rural area and she's newer, she takes a CE course on it. So she feels more competent in it. And I'm like, yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly what we should be doing. But so if you're feeling like, hey, maybe you're struggling to numb, or you're struggling to do instrumentation, or struggling to treatment plan or whatever, take a CE course on it so that isn't costing you like additional stress or dread.
And there's no shame.
No shame. So some things aren't causing you like that dread of going to work. If an office is making you unhappy because the dynamics don't work for you, then maybe leave that practice or have open conversation with your dentist or your office manager about what's going on and why these things don't work for you, and see if this isn't a way for y'all to meet halfway.
When I got out of hygiene school, I was working 5 days a week, and then I added on Saturdays, not for the money, But why did I add on Saturday? So it's because on this, during the week, I was pretty much the only hygienist. And then on Saturdays, I worked with three other hygienists. So it was having, being able to bond and be with someone that knew what I was going through and yeah. to be able to share tips and tricks and just being on common ground. Like, that's why I really enjoyed and looked forward to working Saturdays, because I was among other hygienists. And so I think we can be, when coming out of school, everyone can be burnt. Everyone's tired, or everyone's eager to work and make money, that you end up losing touch. I still keep in touch with some of my dental hygiene school friends, but we're all in like different areas of our life that, you know, we still chat, but it's not as like as close as we used to be. But everyone goes off. And I honestly, one of my classmates, it was me and her, we were the only ones that still went to our association meetings after dental hygiene school. Sarah McCullough. And yeah. And then when it came, and this was just the first year we got out, when it came election time, she knew a seasoned hygienist that I believe she was like going to run for president or something. So that's how I think she got the itch to run for an officer position, or they asked her. And so then I was like, oh, like thinking, you know, I wouldn't have thought of running for a position this early on, but there were open positions. And so I was like, maybe I'll run, you know? And I did. And that's how like it all started. And I'm so glad I did. Was it work? Yes. But I don't think I would have gotten immersed in the community that I did if I didn't take that step and then ask, because I don't think people don't know what you're interested in. And so, especially with so many new members or so many members, they can't touch every person. They try to. I know like that's the goal of theirs, but if they don't know you, they may not. They don't want to pressure you or push you in too quick. So what did I do? I asked. I was like, oh, hey, there's the office of secretary open. Like, is it a hard job? What does the job entail? And then that's how they knew I was interested and encouraged me and, you know, mentored me through it. And so sometimes you have to ask.
And I have made some really good friends, like me, you, and Shauna, still core three. I'm friends with one of my hygiene BFF, Amy Leva. We have like a Texas group of friends. And so it's nice to have people who understand your work problems. And, you know, cause you can come home and tell your spouse like, oh, today sucked. But they don't truly understand like the complexities of our field. And so it's nice to have somebody who like understands, and having those friends. And so I didn't connect with anybody really. I didn't really have hygiene school classmate friends, but I have dental hygiene friends now, like lifelong friends. I love Angela. Obviously, she knows I love her. And so random, like who would have thought that we would have turned out to be like BFFs. But such a blessing to have in my life and being able to talk about those things. I think that's super, super helpful. But also, I think doing things, having hobbies outside of work, like making sure that not everything is about work. Because I think sometimes we feel like we're losing ourselves, you know. I recently started baking because somebody asked me recently, like, what's your hobbies? Like, and I'm like, all I do is work, you know. Can I say travel was my hobby? Because all I do is travel. Yeah.
But it's still work related.
It's still work related. And so I made up a semi-lie where I was like, oh, I have ducks. And they're like, you have ducks? And it's a kind of a lie. I have ducks, but they're not my hobby. But I feel like it's a good way like to like get away from that. So I'm trying to learn how to bake, and so I'm excited for that. You know, like doing things, keeping yourself like physically active. I love meditating, and I love journaling. I just bought Angela a guided journal. And it just like helps you like with reflections and like, what do you love about yourself? Or why are you being hard on yourself today? What are you feeling guilty about? And I'm like, ooh, these hit so hard, and things that sometimes like you have to work through what it is that is bothering you, that is hurting you, that is causing you to be burnt out in order to address that issue. If you don't know what's causing that burnout, then how can you address the burnout? Right. And so the reasons for my burnout may be completely different from your burnout. And so I think that requires self-reflection, or, you know, maybe some therapy, maybe some meditation or journaling to be able to work through those things and figure it out, and then take the steps you need to take in order to address those issues. But I believe you can have a fulfilling career in dentistry and not be burnt out. You can have a good dental career. Burnout isn't inevitable.
Yeah. And I think we talk about it, and there's forums about it, and it's talked about in different kind of communities, because it is there, it exists, but again, it, like Amber said, it doesn't have to, it's like you said, it doesn't have to be your inevitable end of things. I know, like, usually the negative shines through,
yeah,
but really there is a lot of positive in dental hygiene, which is why me, you, and Amy created this podcast,
yeah,
because we saw that there were those communities coming out, and there's a need for those communities. I think it's good for people to be involved and talk about it, and it can help them figure out what's going on with them, hearing other people's testimonies. But then that's why we wanted to bring this forward to talk about the positives in dental hygiene, which are the friendships, what we get to do for the community. Like for you, Amber, like you work clinically, but when you work clinically, you're volunteering, essentially. You're not getting paid.
Yeah, I'm not getting paid. And I love it does. It makes me so happy. I love the work that I get to do and serving people in the community. And for me, I mean, I just didn't like general dentistry. I love public health dentistry. So it wasn't the actual like act of providing care. It was the setting in which I was providing care. And that doesn't mean that general dentistry isn't good or pediatric dentistry isn't good or pros or, you know, perio or cosmetic isn't good. It just didn't fit me.
Exactly. Exactly. And it might not, again, maybe it's not the practice, but it's the specialty here. And maybe you do want to do public health. Maybe you do want to do pediatrics. Like I've had hygienists where they've gone into pediatrics and they go back into general. I know one, she's one of my good friends. And then she ended up, general was burning her out and she wasn't getting the same excitement as she was treating adults. She went back into pediatrics.
Or maybe you need variety. Maybe you need, so when I used to like work part-time in one place and part-time in another place, I was like, that's kind of nice because I'm here doing this right now. And then on Fridays, I do pedo. And I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. Like, it's nice having like that variety sometimes too. To figure out like what works for you. I worked at a practice where we did 3 days, but they were 3 10-hour days. And I was like, oh, that's kind of nice. Because we would do, I think, Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, then Thursdays.
Yeah, because then you would be making like you would 4 days.
Yeah, you're working 30 hours instead of 32 hours. But I'm working 3 days instead of working 4 days.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then that break in between was really nice. Yeah, it wasn't that bad. And I also worked at a practice where we did 7 to 3, which also was nice because you got out really early. I suck at getting up in the morning.
I was like, oh, that's really early for you.
Yeah, it was early for me. But I can also see like how white people would like that. They're like, they just kind of eat between patients and, you know, 7 to 3 and 3, they're done. And then on the summertime, they have more time to be out. And in the wintertime, they have more time for daylight. And so, you know, versus when I was working in Minnesota, I would get into work and it would be nighttime. And I would get out of work and it would be nighttime. And that was really hard for me mentally. And so having those hours that are, you know, maybe start earlier and end earlier so you can get some daylight and not have to go a whole week without seeing some sunlight. Those things were impactful and important for me. So yeah, I think you just have to figure things out. I mean, this idea that you're going to get out and practice and find the perfect dental job, ooh, unlikely, you know, and not impossible, but unlikely.
Yeah.
So just because you don't like your first job doesn't mean that you're not going to love dentistry. I also think it's very much a mindset thing. Stephanie Bond's story yesterday, how, you know, you choose to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that. I think maybe Seb said this before, that I am generally a negative person. And so I have to work on being happy. And so sometimes I'm like, all right, Amber, smile, like force myself to smile, force myself to myself. Like today's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
Today I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to focus on those negative things. I'm going to embrace this joy that I feel, these little glimpses of happiness. I'm going to embrace those things. Can I be worried about other things? Absolutely. Like right now, one of the things for me is I'm really want to go with IVF right now. In this moment, I want to do IVF. I want to be pregnant. That's not going to be the likelihood for me right now. But I can focus on the joys of the holiday season. I love that I get to spend time with you. Hopefully we have time today to go get our nails done. You know, like I love decorating. I bought myself a new chair. I'm trying to focus on other things and focus on those things that do make me happy.
And I think sometimes with like not or avoiding burnout, getting there is also having your boundaries. I learned that late, you know, and that's why I ended up experiencing burnout, you know? So if you can equip yourself with the information and the knowledge beforehand and learn from like our experiences, then you don't have to experience it, you know? And boundaries, it doesn't have to be like, oh no, I'm not staying till 5 after work, but maybe it's people around you. So I've known like hygienists where they keep their boundaries with their coworkers that they, you know, maybe don't share or friend them on their Instagram or Facebook because that just crosses another line and that helps keep the peace and makes work nice to go to. Like, you can still be friends with your coworkers without exposing your whole life to them.
Yeah.
So sometimes those boundaries have to be made to be able to avoid burnout.
And I also think, like, maybe picking your battles is also important too. So I was going to do a post. I don't know if I'll do it because I don't know if I want people to get mad at me or misunderstand, but I wanted to do a post that said, I'm a dental hygienist and I have scrub toilets. For me, that's not a deal breaker per se, depending on the situation, right? If I have no patients, the office needs some help, I'm going to do those things. In this setting where I was scrubbing the toilets, it was during COVID and I was a director at that time. And so I was a leader. Me and the dentist, we were scrubbing the toilets and we were mopping the floors. So, I mean, I feel like as leaders, we have to set that example. And so I had no problem. No, that's not my job. That's not the doctor's job, but we were doing it.
Yeah.
Setting that example.
Because I think in school, you're taught to like have this and this is the perfect scenario, and that you every practice you go to, you have to have the perfect scenario. And that's a lot of pressure, and that's not the not to say that it shouldn't be done or it can't be done, but there's the reality of how to incorporate those things as well. Like, your yes, would be having new instruments and sharp instruments be optimal? Is it going to be at every practice? Are they going to have regular sharpening services? Probably not. But again, can you have those conversations? Yeah. Exactly, and teach them, you know? So I think there's the pressure coming out of hygiene school as well to have everything lined up, and then you're thrown into the reality of things, which make it a little bit more challenging to navigate.
Yeah. The other thing I hear a lot about is like, they're not doing reevals. And I'm like, well, a lot of practices don't do reevals, you know. Yeah,
but let's talk. You can talk to them.
Talk about to them about it, you know, be the one who like provides that conversation and education. But yeah. So for me, like the scrubbing the toilets thing, I was like, that's not a battle I'm going to choose to pick, because wasn't significant, honestly. It wasn't like I was leaving any later, and I was still getting paid for it, right? And I knew it was a temporary thing. I knew it wasn't going to be forever. It's just like we had to make it through COVID. There's some things I'm going to pick battles on. There's things I'm not. There are things that are going to impact me and things that wouldn't impact you, and vice versa. For me, I hate like when people don't communicate well. It like really bothers me. Like sticking a patient into my schedule they're like 30 minutes late or 50 minutes late, and they're like, do you still want to do this? No, I don't want to do this. Like, it's not about me wanting to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's that I don't have any more time. Like, and you should understand that. And like, those things frustrate me. But that's a me thing, because I'm like, well, I could have a conversation with them.
Or it's like more like telling you than asking you.
Right. Like, you're making me feel guilty because I don't want to see this patient. But it's not that I don't want to run behind. And that's not on my fault. Right. And so then having conversations with yourself about like, well, hey, when you say this, it bothers me, because it's not that I don't want to see this patient, as I genuinely don't have the time to, and this is like what I have to go through my appointment, and I just wouldn't be able to. And so maybe like we can work on some protocols or ways to communicate, like what works for me, what works for you. There are things that I'm just gonna let not bother me, you know, and there are things that absolutely are my boundaries, and we're gonna have to have a discussion about them. But again, I think you have to know what those things are. If we dwell on absolutely everything, we're going to be miserable. And if we dwell on the things that we do not like, that truly are a problem for us, but we don't take steps to correct them, we're going to be miserable. So focus on what is important and address those important things.
And not an office isn't fit for everyone, right?
No.
And
no.
That's okay. That is okay.
And that doesn't make them a bad office either.
No. And nor does it make you like key or whatever, you know, like you.
Or a diva.
Yeah. Not at all. I like what you said about having variety, and then like that you did general and did pedo, because I'll get DMs, and I might make a post about this as well. I get DMs, people asking me, students asking me that, oh, my instructor said that I'm going to lose all my skills if I go into pedo. And I am so glad they reached out to me, because I'm glad they came to like a source, right? And I feel like I heard that in dental hygiene school too, where I had instructors tell me that. And I will say, I do not feel that way. But if you are nervous, if you don't take my word for it, oh, and what I tell people when they DM me, it's like, if that is something you're nervous about, I'm going to say no. Like, I know my scalers. I know my Gracie. Like, I know what calculus feels like. I still scale calculus off kids. Not an issue for me. But if you are nervous about it anyway, like when I volunteer and I see the general pop, you know, general, right? So that's what you could do. Or maybe you do pedo 3 days a week and general 1 day a week, if that is a concern of yours. But have I ever felt like I've lost my skills? No, not at all. Like, I can still care for my patients, no matter their age. And I've had patients where they have, you know, they're in their college years and they may have some adult problems coming, you know, like older problems coming on too. Like, I still scale subgingival. I don't know what it means to lose your skills. I don't know. Like, you don't know your instruments. You don't know how to detect calculus, because I do that every day.
And I don't practice hardly as much as near you do. And I don't feel like I've lost my skills. Just because they're an educator doesn't mean they know absolutely everything. And I think that we take educators' words to mean that it's set in stone, that it is rules, that is the ultimate truth, and that is not necessarily the truth. You know, there is part-time hygienists who are part-time educators. They know their personal experiences. They don't necessarily know all experiences.
And that's the thing. Has the educator worked in pedo? Like, you know, that's why, like, I'm really glad, like, they come to me and they ask me, you know, someone who is going through it and in the scenario, versus if you've never done pedo, then how can you have a word on it, you know? Well, we wish you guys had a happy holidays and enjoying this week, whether you're at work or with your family. And I hope, you know, I don't want the students to get discouraged. I know you're on your break now, and you're going to start up soon. But, you know, you have a full community here rooting you on, cheering you on, and we are here for you if you need us.
Yes. Thank you for listening to Positively Hygiene.
Join us every Tuesday for a new episode.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram for the opportunity for how you can contribute to our podcast.
And follow and review Positively Hygiene on Apple and Spotify Podcasts.